With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I hate to break it, you're not the same as anyone here, but we can take it. We short up round or round or we're queer. I've got a feeling we are onto something here.
Live from King's Place in London, the Spontaneity Shop presents Global College, the comedy panel show starring you, the hive mind of the audience.
And if you're worried, trouble might be coming your way. It is together, I think that's what I heard the man say. I've got a feeling you're gonna be okay.
Mark Hodge on keys, everybody! I'm Deborah Frances White, and this is Global Pillage, a comedy panel show where we forage the weirdest cultural truffles in the world. We're living on a planet where there's an app to help you name your beard, a tree in India which collects clocks, and a well-known idiom of dubious international origin warning us not to teach grandmas to suck eggs. Why would anyone ever do that? Talking about the interesting and the strange, please welcome our comedians! On my left, playing for Bhishma, Bisha Kayali, and Kima Bob. And on my right, playing for Hit the Rome Jack, Francesco De Carlo and Yasmin Abdelmagyed. So firstly, panellists, what makes you diverse? Bisha Kayali?
I'm a brown lady. Oh, I also don't know how to swim.
The last time Bisha played this game, which was some weeks ago, she told us she didn't know how to ride a bike. In a very real way, Bisha, your mother's here in the audience again today. Did Bisha just not want to learn these things, Mama Ali?
I don't know why, but I can ride and I can almost swim.
Oh, you can. So your mum can do all of these things.
What a show off!
Kima Bob, how are you diverse?
Being a black American, I'm super mysteriously diverse because slavery, right?
We cannot... We can't laugh at that, and yet they did. I don't know.
Well, it's, you know, funny from some angles.
What angles?
Like, apologies. I enjoy a good apology. But yeah, I would say it's diverse in the way that I don't know where I'm from. It's clearly a black place, but Africa is huge, you guys. Also, it's true, it's so big. I'm like queer, I'm neurodiverse, which is so sexy.
You might be one of the most diverse people we've ever had on.
I don't mean to brag.
No. No,
I'm... About slavery.
And why are you called Bhishma?
We were under a lot of pressure to come up with a name.
Yeah.
And I went to the toilet and there's a really long queue.
Mm.
Right, yeah. So it's Bhishma and Kima.
Correct.
Basically, in one word. You've just put your names together.
It's a great combo. I think it's an excellent name for something in the future, say, my next dog or first child. Bhishma.
Good to know. Hit the Rome, Jack. Francesco De Carlo, how are you diverse?
I'm from Italy, and my family's from the south of Italy. Mm. And last week, my brother got married with a guy, and so we are a diverse family in Italy because it's still not so cool to do these things in my country. I don't know why. So we are very happy, and I'm very proud of my family, so we are diverse in this sense, I think.
Lovely.
Still,
lovely.
The south of Italy is still in the Middle Ages. You can, yeah, yeah, see.
Do they know that you say that about them?
No.
Is that because they haven't got the internet yet?
No, there's no internet in the south of Italy, likely.
Yasmin Abdel-Magied.
Well, I was going to say I'm Australian, but I mean, that's Australian and London is not that diverse at all. If it was a pie, my heritage, I would divide it into 8 pieces because I'm generous. And 3 pieces would be Sudanese, 3 pieces would be Egyptian, 1 would be Turkish, and 1 would be Moroccan. So, you know, 2 things about me. 1, I'm an engineer and I divide everything into fractions. And 2, it would be a delicious pie, right? We have all the best herbs and spices. And also, my family was like the second Sudanese family in Brisbane, so most people just had no idea where Sudan was. Because the next Sudanese family only came about 10 years later. Oh, my dad's always like...
You must have been so happy when they got there.
Oh, mate, we were just like, hallelujah! Or Allahu Akbar, depending. I was also the first chick in my high school to wear a headscarf. So maroon headscarf, maroon jumper and long maroon skirt. So I looked like a nun. It was very confusing for everyone. I tried to pick up guys by showing them my ankle, but it didn't work. I was like, hey, Shane. Shane was not interested.
And why are you called Hit the Rome Jack?
Because I'm from Rome, and Hit the Road Jack is a popular Australian song.
I believe so. I believe so.
She believes so. So
I have no idea if it's an Australian song at all.
Not.
It's just something.
I think it's an American song. I think that's another thing.
I'm going to claim that.
Yeah. I feel that's cultural appropriation, guys.
I am responsible just for Rome. So I'm totally outside of this.
Well, the white man just taking all responsibility away.
But I also love that he feels he's responsible for Rome, which I believe was not built in a day, but it was built well before your time.
Yes.
I'm Deborah Frances White, and I am diverse because I am dual citizen. I'm a citizen of Britain and Australia, and I just travelled. I did a tour of my other podcast, The Guilty Feminist. One fan in there. We went to Australia and New Zealand, back into Australia and back into Britain, and I didn't have to talk to a customs person once. Everywhere I went, I just bit my passport because I've got several... No, 2, if you're listening, officials, customs people, 2. Okay. Here at Global Pillage, our facts aren't just checked. They're actually gingham.
Hey!
This is scorekeeping at its most fierce. Over in Pedant's Corner, his middle name is Certitude. It's Ned Sedgwick. And next, please welcome, it's the King of Keys. And I'm not talking about a stone or metal platform or lying alongside or projecting into water, usually for the loading or uploading of ships. I'm talking about piano keys. It's Mark Hodge. Ned, have you had a global experience this week?
Yeah, actually, I've been recording a new podcast called International Dish, in which I interview refugees about food and I cook with refugees. And a question I always ask them, though, is, you know, since you moved to England, what is the English food that you've kind of most enjoyed that you never really had before? And it draws a very long silence. And then they all say at the end, does pizza count?
So, Francesco, you have brought into this country, because you're responsible for Rome, so you're responsible for the only thing that people, international visitors, really like.
You should be proud.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, that's ours.
It's very English of you.
Global Pillage, Mark creates some beautiful noise using a tune from the International Cultural Archives. Over to you, Mark.
I'll give you 1-0, green crow, the rush is on. What is your 1-0? 1 and 1 is all alone and evermore will be so. I'll give you 2-0, green crow, the rush is on. What is your 2-0? 2-2, the lily white boy is all dressed up in corduroys. 1 and 1 is all alone and evermore will be so.
You get the idea, right? This is a German melody. It's a cumulative song. Each line adds
I was a bit disappointed we didn't get as far as five gold rings.
Exactly, yeah. It's cumulative in the same way as 12 Days of Christmas. And it is a Yiddish construction to a German tune with, in this case, English words. However, what we're going to do... What are the scores, Ned? What are the scores, please, Ned? So you've got the call, you've got the response. Yeah, we'll have a go. What are the scores, Ned?
What are the scores, please, Ned?
Is it possible that a choir has just booked out all the seats in today as sort of on a group outing, an away day? First up is our themed round, and this week's theme is war. And Trump's in office at the time of recording, so fingers crossed that when this goes out, this round still won't be topical. All the teams get a chance to answer, but you get more points if you buzz in first with a correct answer. The Hive Mind gets a chance to answer after both teams of comedians have answered. Fingers on buzzers. What do the armed forces of Iceland, Costa Rica, and Panama all have in common?
They are bored. Because they don't have anything to do. So.
Okay, they're bored.
Do they exist?
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. Bishmar?
They do not exist.
It's not a call response thing.
They are pacifist countries, so they don't have anything to do. They are very good in Sudoku.
So the armed forces of the Royal Sudoku Legion. Okay, all right. Bishma?
I believe that they are unarmed or not heavily armed.
Okay.
I think they rule with love instead of fear. They don't need weaponry.
Oh, and canal. They have, there's canals in that.
That's
Panama.
True.
Fact. True.
The famous Iceland canal. Yeah.
And so there's a lot of canal-based warfare.
And they just slap through it. Because when the love doesn't work, then you just hand-to-hand combat.
So here's the thing. Okay. In Iceland, there's an app where you, like, if you pick someone up, you can check if you're related, right? So, like, I don't think in Iceland they're ruling with love.
Or maybe they are just way too much in all the wrong places.
Yeah.
Like, that's what that sounds like.
Like, within families.
Hive Mind, what do the armed forces of Iceland, Costa Rica and Panama have in common?
Don't exist.
They're time. Part-time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just calling it in, really.
So,
yeah.
If you think it's don't exist, buzz now. If you think they're on 0 hours contracts, buzz now. It is, in fact, that they don't exist. Hit the Rome Jack did get it first, and so they get full points. Other teams get half points.
It makes the British defeat in the Cod Wars against Iceland quite embarrassing. In 1972, we had to sign an agreement basically exceeding a lot of maritime land? Sea.
Territory.
Maritime land is sea, I would say.
Yeah, it's sea territory to them, because they said, all right, if you carry on nicking all our cod, we'll just leave NATO. And we have one of the biggest, best-equipped armies in the world, but we couldn't do anything against diplomacy, so we lost.
Oh,
so
the
there
fish.
You go.
In December 1969, a war broke out between Honduras and El Salvador. What event was the immediate cause of the outbreak?
Stolen cocaine.
Stolen cocaine?
Yeah, I agree with that. So Honduras and El Salvador were like, hey, we can have a party, but it's not yours. Like, it's mine.
Yeah.
You can have some of my cocaine. And El Salvador was like, I'll take all of it.
I'll just take it. And then the other place was like, where's mustache?
So do you think, was this between the politicians?
Yeah,
what, the politicians every single citizen.
They were in some big Christmas party, Honduras, El Salvador Christmas party. Someone took someone else's stash and the other guy was like, I'm the Minister for Defence, consider yourself invaded.
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
Like, give me my stuff back. And they're like, no. And they're like, well, it's wartime.
Hit the Rome Jack. Do you have an answer?
I mean, I have an idea. I think it's wrong, but it could be tulip prices.
Oh. Tulip prices?
I don't know.
The flower?
Yeah. It happened.
There was something about tulip prices. I could be thinking the wrong country and the wrong time.
Isn't that Amsterdam, though?
The 16th century, yeah.
All right, wrong time.
Well, this is 1969, so a little bit later than the 16th century. So tulip wars?
I guess not. Nobody. El Salvador, Honduras. Was it to do with pyramids?
Whoa.
Pyramids, okay.
Pyramids of cocaine.
Yeah. Pyramids of cocaine. Hive mind. In December 1969, a war broke out between Honduras and El Salvador. What event was the immediate cause of the outbreak?
A football match.
Yeah, for sure. A football match?
Yes. Anything else on mind?
Legit.
An accidental invasion. Anything else on mind? An assassination. So, Bosnia, if you think it was an assassination... Bosnia, if you think it was an accidental invasion. And Bosnia, if you think it was a football match. You are correct, Hivemind. It was a football match.
Good call.
A football match between the two countries. And so, do you know any more about it?
That's my job. That's literally... Literally, a computer could do everything else I do.
No, sure. I just wanted to get...
When you're looking for a replacement for someone, just don't do it so obviously.
Do you know enough about this that you could take Ned's job on halfway through the show, is what I'm saying?
No, I just knew what happened somewhere because of football and the sound effect, kind of climate.
Great. Okay.
Thank you.
Super. Okay. Ned, do you know more details?
Yeah, I know shitloads about it. There have been tensions between the two countries. A bit of rioting broke out in the football match. And I think it was the El Salvadorians were in Honduras. And all the Hondurans had put kind of dead fish and all of this stuff in their rooms to freak them out. And they were like, we just need to get out of here alive. They lost 3-0. And they said, we won that game because we escaped alive, because the riots got so bad in the stands. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter if we lost the game. Like, we all lived. And then a war broke out afterwards.
Wow.
Yeah, there were long-standing conflicts. So.
Mm. Oh, clearly it wasn't just that. When they went to war, what would Georgian men take with them from home? Bishma.
I just full outfits, like full clothes. Because you don't want to be out in the field
can you be
without clothes,
more specific,
innit?
Because otherwise it's...
Oh, sorry. Just trying to... I think that they would leave the house to go to war, check your kit.
Be ready.
Be ready, have your clothes
spare
on.
Spare wigs.
Because it doesn't leave...
Wait, is that era? I feel like the American school system has failed me.
The British school system's not looking that great either. And the Italian one is looking really appalling. Relatively, we're now looking at the British schooling system and going, it's not that bad.
Nevertheless, we're all moving to Finland.
Is there some sort of like totem, like, or a little ceramic vase, maybe?
Totem or a ceramic vase? Take a ceramic vase to war.
A small one.
Imagine the sweetest war ever. They're like, oh, we just brought you for your flowers. Just army the vases. Great.
A mean vase.
I went to the flower market.
Everyone. Soldier.
All of the soldiers.
A dagger. Like, I don't know.
A trinket dagger for your trouble.
Hive mind. When they went to war, what would Georgian men take with them from home? A Russian passport.
Point's the sassiest answer.
Piece of their wife's hair.
Piece of
their wife's hair.
It
piece of their wife's hair. That seems to have caused an extraordinary response.
It's creepy.
Christmas cake.
Somebody said wives.
In May. Just in May.
Did you say wives or wine? Their wives, not the hair, the whole woman. Okay. Anything else?
Bible.
The Bible.
Yeah, it's legit.
Seems legit.
An alcoholic drink. Okay, if you think it's Russian passport, buzz now. That got a laugh, but no support. Even from you, who said it. Wives' hair, buzz now. Christmas cake. Their whole wives. Bible. An alcoholic beverage. That is the closest. It's a clipping of a vine leaf. So if the village were destroyed, they could continue the grape.
Oh. Wine was thought to have been invented the way we have it today in what is now Georgia. And interestingly, they still use ceramic vases amphora to make it.
Oh.
But they didn't take them to war, so I'm afraid.
Look, I knew there was vases wow. somewhere.
Yeah, no, but it's really...
And I would like to say they were probably clothed the whole time.
And it's the end of the round.
What are the scores, Ned?
In third place is Bishmar with 5 points.
Well,
in second place, it's Hit the Rome Jack with 10 points. And in first place, it's A Hive Mind with 15 points.
Whoa. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The next round is everyone's favourite round.
Idioms!
What is the meaning of this foreign phrase which we have literally translated into English, fingers on buzzers? The Uzbeks say, when the camel's tail reaches the ground. When the camel's tail reaches the ground.
The camel is in a garage? Like in a basement, in a downstairs.
Do you think it's a camel-based idiom about camels? If you've got a literal camel, you use this.
The camel is an animal.
Yes, the cat. Yes, yeah. That is correct.
Okay.
It's like a horse with two humps.
It's an idiom. So.
No, it's like when you get home, right? When the camel's tail touches the
ground.
Oh,
when you get home.
You get home.
Yeah. When you
yeah,
get
you
home.
Park or, in, camel.
Or in a garage.
When you pull into the garage, or when you get home,
or when you finish pooing.
Yeah.
Right, because like I'm assuming the camel lifts its tail when it's pooing.
Right.
So when you're done taking a dump, then we'll do the thing we need to do. When it's down.
Are you finishing? Hit the Rome Jack.
Oh, that's
answer.
For sure wrong. I've got a whole other answer thing going on, but I was just really in the moment. It was
okay, go. I want to hear it.
I'm sorry. I understood when the camel is tall.
Oh, tall.
So reaches the ground because it's in a garage.
Oh, I see. No, it's when the camel's tail.
Why did you laugh? It made any sense? You probably had thought that I was crazy.
We had reached that conclusion some minutes earlier, to be honest. So it's when the camel's tail reaches the ground.
Taking a poo. She's right.
All right. Bishma?
I think it's when the penny drops. Like when you understand, it's like, oh, when the penny drops. I don't know if it's just because it's like gravity and everything's down, but it feels right in my spirit.
Do camels have tails?
Whoa. Yeah, they do. I've ridden a camel once.
Yeah, I think so.
And it's
it's not another armed forces situation.
I'm just checking my assumptions.
I mustn't say anymore. Hive mind, when the camel's tail reaches the ground.
Rest time.
When it's rest time. When pigs fly.
Wow. Oh!
Yes. It never happened. The end of the day.
It'll never happen because they don't have tails, innit?
Do they have short tails?
Shit.
Anything else?
At the end of the day.
Okay. It's time to rest, buzz now. When pigs fly, buzz now. Or the end of the day, buzz now. You are correct, it's when pigs fly.
Wow.
The camel
camels only have a little tail, and so it will never happen. It
always
will never
be checking your assumptions. Yeah.
You never reach the
ground. I've learned so much from you today. Thank you.
No worries.
Yeah. So it's fine. You know, the country with the most camels in the world is Australia.
Yeah, and we've got real pure ones too.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds a little camel racist.
Just fitting in with the rest of Australia, really.
Wait.
Surely you've never
experienced... I love my country.
Surely you've never experienced racism in Australia.
Not at all.
Not one time.
Look at me. I am the classic Australian.
Surely the racism you experienced didn't hit the international press.
Never.
In Wales, they say, put the fiddle on the roof. Hmm. Fiddle on the roof, what do they mean?
Like, stop doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, stop doing...
Stop making so much noise, right?
Yeah, stop.
Like, the fiddle's real noisy.
It's like when the boxers put the gloves on the...
Hook on the roof.
On the hook.
when the boxers put the gloves on the hook.
Yeah,
hang up your gloves.
Isn't there something that
I say it's like, just cut the shit, guys.
Yeah. I'm like, because, like, fiddling around...
people are also fiddling around.
Is that not related to a musical instrument also?
Yeah.
What is happening?
Put the fiddle.
Wait, isn't there something about a cat playing a fiddle?
Yeah, but like it's like a fiddle, but then like when you fiddle around, I want it to mean the same thing.
Hive mind.
Yeah.
In Wales, they say put the fiddle in the roof.
In the roof or on the roof?
It's actually in the roof. I'm sorry, I've misheard
you. That
is
intense.
That's very different.
That's some other stuff. Yeah.
Especially
completely
Wales.
Changes.
Put the fiddle in the roof. Hive mind.
Have a party.
Have a party.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
Fiddles are fun, isn't it?
Sorry?
Give up.
Wow. Stop feeling sorry for yourself.
Oh, world's tiniest fiddle.
That sounds legit.
No pity party.
Put the fiddle in the roof already.
So if you think it's have a party, buzz now.
Million.
Give up, Buzznow. Stop feeling sorry for yourself, Buzznow. In fact, hit the Rome Jack, had it. It's time to give up. Throw in the towel. Hang up your gloves.
Wow.
Thank you.
In Mongolia, when would you hear, may your moustache grow like brushwood? Bishma.
Yes. Well, say it on three. One, two, three. Will you get married?
When you get married? Yeah.
Say something.
I was going to say
when someone gets married,
or when someone finds out that they're going to have a child. Ooh. They say it to the father of the child. May your moustache grow so you can be a father.
Yeah, and you can play an active role in your child's life because you have great facial hair.
Okay, you're gonna have a child.
Like New Year's or Christmas or like on your birthday.
Like a New Year's greeting or a birthday greeting. Like your moustache grow like brushwood.
Or at somebody else's wedding when people are like wishing for you to get married.
Six answers.
Or a long leave.
That's 17 answers.
That's 18 to 20 answers.
So like live long.
Live long. So live long and prosper. Or have a child. Hive mind, in Mongolia, when would you hear may your moustache grow like brushwood? When you become a man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's deep.
Oh, yeah, that seems more legit.
Wishing someone success.
Embrace the menopause.
Embrace the menopause.
Yeah. I'm here for that.
I like that.
Fine. It's expensive.
I can't want
the removal of all the
space. I
want
to be friends with her. Can we be friends?
Okay. So become a man, Buzznow. To have success, Buzznow. Or it means embrace the menopause, Buzznow. You've got to back that, haven't you? Just because it's so inventive. In fact, it's something that you say after someone sneezes.
Wow.
Why?
I've never been disappointed in a full country before.
It's like a bless you. It's just a saying.
Actually, every culture does have a different... It's one of those things that every culture acknowledges a sneeze. There's no cultures which are just like, oh, I don't give a shit what that person just did. My favourite one is, I think it's in Spain or one of the Spanish-speaking countries. They just go, Jesus. You say, Jesus. Wow. So if someone sneezes, you're like, Jesus.
When I was a Jehovah's Witness, we weren't allowed to say bless you because it was endorsing demonism. But...
obviously.
Yes. So it's awkward, because if you're with a colleague who's not a Jehovah's Witness, you just have to go, you okay? It's really awkward. You're not allowed to say it. Yeah.
How does it endorse theme at war? Because it encourages the...
It's because it's pagan. It's a pagan thing to say... bless you because you're blessing the demons coming out. But the reason we weren't allowed to do yoga was because it would let the demons in. And so I always used to think, if you did yoga and then sneezed, yoga sneezed, would it be like a demon spin cycle? And it's the end of the round!
Like being force-fed.
In third place is Bishmar with 5 points. In second place, it's Hit the Rome Jack with 20 points. And in first place, it's a Hive Mind with 25 points.
The next round is the teams round. This is the round where each team, including you, please, the audience, submits a self-penned question to their opposition. The questions will be based on fascinating features of their cultural background. Not about their yogurts and what's behind them, but about their origins. Did someone here grow up worshipping mermaids? Or perhaps they're from a country where blinking counts as foreplay. Hit the broom, Jack. Do you have a question for Bishmar?
We do. So, my question is, into Sudanese culture, we'll go into Sudanese culture, what does it mean if you call somebody, the Arabic word is masura, the translation is like a pipe, or they've given you a pipe, or they are a pipe?
What does it mean if someone calls you a pipe?
It's slang.
Is that dick related? That's just where it went. That's where I'm at. I can't even entertain other answers.
Is it?
I'm thinking about.
Is it like, oh, you're a tool, mate? You're handing me a tool.
Dick
and
related.
You're a dick tool. Or is it a useful tool? Like, it could be a good thing.
No. I'm trying to read your face. You're handing me a pipe.
You're just giving me some random shit.
Yeah, you're full of crap.
Yeah. You're full of pipes.
Yeah, so many pipes.
You're a physical pipe.
Yeah.
You ready for it?
Yes.
They're late.
What?
I know, it's wild. It makes no sense. That's why it's a great quiz question.
Bishmar did not get it, so that means Hit the Rome Jack gets points. Bishmar, do you have a question for the Hive Mind?
So I'm from Houston, Texas. We have a rodeo, like, every year. It's huge. And there's, bull riding and all sorts of shenanigans, a concert. But it starts by toddlers running out onto the field, catching and tying up what animal?
Sheep. Lambs.
I've got sheep and lambs.
Shit, you guys. I thought that was hard.
They knew it. It was sheep and lambs.
Yeah, it's called mutton busting.
Can you get more points now by giving a question to Hit the Rome Jack that they cannot answer?
I'm Paola, and I'm Brazilian. And we have a saying that says, this is for the English to see. Ooh. When do you say that?
There's an idiom, this is for the English to see.
Ooh, I love it.
And so only Hit the Rome Jack can answer, this is for the English to see.
It's like the English didn't invade, so like, is it like a surprise to like make the English avoid Brazil? Or like is it like, oh, you know, when you've got a messy room and so like they arrive and they're like, oh, well, this is a mess, so we'll just leave. Like, I don't
get out of here.
Only they thought that way, though. Yeah.
True that.
A mess, they'll take advantage. That's my impression.
It's tidy, I'll also take advantage.
Like a sad picture, I would say.
A sad picture.
Like something sad.
It's when you're making something up to keep the English happy. So we created a law just to satisfy the English. So we say, well, let's put that on, but keep doing what we need to do. So that's for the English to see.
Oh, so it's a fake law that the English can
see. I feel like
see.
Messing up your room so that they avoid is pretty much that.
Yeah. Ned, do you think that that's close enough to get some points or no?
No.
Okay.
Sometimes I've noticed this, comedians will say their answer and then say what the person said and then go, I think that's pretty close. And we can get fooled into thinking they are close if we listen to what they said and think people were that brazenly lying, Donald Trump. But no, it was not really related.
Okay, all right. So that was a very good one. So this is for the English to see. I think I'm going to take that on board. So it's something that you just have in the front counter and you just go, oh, that's for them to see when they come. This is for the English to see. Great question and points for the hive mind. So next up is the game changer round, where we delve into the story of an underdog who eventually took first prize. And fittingly, if you're on the losing team so far tonight, it's all to play for, because even though there's only one question in this round, it's worth double points. Who coined the term Tulip Revolution, referring to the revolution that toppled the corrupt authoritarian leader of Kyrgyzstan?
Do you want to have a go?
Tulip McGee. Do you know Tulip McGee?
Yeah.
Because if your answer isn't Tulip McGee, you're wrong.
He was a florist that led the nation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we're both agreed that it's Tulip McGee.
Tulip McGizzle.
Tulip McGizzle.
Yeah. That's what his friends called him.
Yeah. Sure.
I'm one of them.
Yeah.
I'm a time traveler.
Okay. Tulip McGee, commonly known to his friends as Tulip McGizzle. Hit the Rome Jack.
I mean, the thing is, I know all about the Tulip Revolution. I'm not very good at remembering the names of the people that coined
McGee.
The terms. Or it was like someone more recent who was looking back upon the revolution and was like, uh-huh, this is what happened. So it could have been Karl Marx. I don't know.
Wow.
Is Karl Marx your answer? Karl Marx McGee?
When did it happen? The
tulip revolution. The
1600s. No. That was a tulip mania. That was a Dutch
thing. Whoa, we're talking about different tulip situations?
Yeah. Yeah.
What is up with tulips?
Tulips are behind all of the world's great crises.
Always the problem.
It was 2005. 2005.
Well, John Snow, then.
Tony Blair. 2005. Hive mind.
Tony Blair.
I said Tony Blair.
A woman.
Boom, yes, I like
yes,
it.
Yes.
Because if you are a woman, that's what you get called as well. Do you see Jo Brand doing a brilliant bit around sexism, and all of the BuzzFeeds are like, a woman comedian, and then no one calls her by her name. It's just like, a female comedian. Because there's no need to name her. She's the one that isn't the men. So was it Tony Blair or a woman? If you think it's Tony Blair, buzz now. If you think it's a woman, buzz now. You should vote for that, because there's more women than Tony Blair's. In fact, it was Azmir Akayev who was that same corrupt dictator. He used it in a speech saying, there will be no tulip revolution in Kyrgyzstan. After which there was.
Yeah, because there had been in quite a lot of Astans in the former Soviet republics, there had been revolutions against corruption with kind of names of flowers or names of colours. So in Ukraine, there was the Orange Revolution. In Georgia, there was the Rose Revolution. Something. And he was like, there's not going to be any, like, tulip revolution here. And everyone was sat around like, that's a good name for the revolution.
The final round is our quickfire round. Hive mind, if you know the answer, shout buzz and the answer. Fingers on buzzers. Finish this French joke. Which Hollywood actor is a copy of himself?
Buzz, the only French actor I know.
It's a Hollywood actor. It's a French joke and a Hollywood actor. Yes? It is in fact Georges Clooney.
Well done, comedians.
Five stars. Five stars would go so see again. Good.
What is spotted dick?
Oh, I don't know. It's spotted sausage.
It's a food.
It's a food sausage.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. We have Tom from Bake Off in the front row, and he shouted, it's pudding. That is correct.
Or a disease.
He has been shouting that for every answer there.
Where would you be from if someone described you as a sooner? A sooner. Hit the wrong
jet. Sooner, no.
Puget Sound.
Oh, a very, very good answer. It's in fact Ohio.
What I said.
In what country would you buy a McDonald's Samurai burger?
Japan.
Yeah, Japan, but I don't want to say that.
Well, there's a good reason you don't want to say it. It's wrong.
Yeah.
Korea.
No. Anyone?
America.
No, Thailand. In China, what Hollywood film was renamed as Warm Shots? Yes, correct. Hot shots there. The audience already said it.
Fast, isn't it? Right. Sorry.
Which actor who shares his name with an inanimate object was voted People's Sexiest Man of the Year, USA 2016?
Brad Pitt.
What?
I don't know.
I don't think Pitt
his whole name is an object.
No, but Bradley Cooper is not an object.
Yeah. Well, he's certainly been objectified.
Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt.
No,
Pratt.
There's only one actor whose name Pratt. Is an object. It's The
Rock. The Rock.
Oh, well.
His name is Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah,
excuse me.
Everybody knows him by Dwayne.
High flying scores there. How old was Alfonso the 13th when he became King of Spain?
13.
12.
No,
seven.
He became king at birth.
Oh, yeah, because he's born.
And it's the end of the show.
Whoa.
Rescue us, Recred.
In third place, it was Bishmar with 5 points. And then again, a tight show. Second place, it was Hit the Rome Jack with 30 points.
What?
Yeah. And in first place, it was a Hive Mind with 45 points.
Well done. So it's Georgian Vines for our winners, but our losers have already thrown their fiddle on the roof. And I'll leave you on this quote from footballer and poet Eric Cantona. When seagulls follow the trawler, it is because they think sardines will be thrown into the sea. Thank you. An alternative translation of that reads, I believe, simply, drugs are bad. Please give it up for Yasmin Abdel-Magid, Francesco De Carlo, Fish K. Ali, Kima Bob, Ned Sedgwick and Penance Gordon, Mark Hodge on keyboard, you the high five, the listeners at home, I've been Deborah Brunson-White, good night. You have been listening to Global Pillage, hosted and created by Francis White. The questions were set by Ned Sedgwick. Music was by Mark Hodge. Recording engineer was Chris Sharp. The producer for the spontaneity shop was Tom Selinsky. Program associate was Jessica Foster-Pugh. Thanks to Zoe, Sally, and everyone at King's Place. For more information about this and other episodes, visit globalvillage.net.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.